It took 17 weeks, but we finally got a primetime game that has some real serious implications here. Detroit and Dallas, man, this one means a lot for playoff seeding, right?
Yeah, and you know, if you happen to have a lineup or two in this week 17 best ball final week and you're stacking this game, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself. Welcome to the Edge DFS. My name is Tyson Smith, joined by Ellie Hernandez. Ellie, we got the Lions going on the road into Dallas to play the Cowboys. Cowboys are 5.5-point favorites here. This should be a good one, man. Like, this feels like this is going to be a high-scoring game. Building for DFS is going to be tough, dude. You've got two stud pass catchers and two stud quarterbacks that we're going to want to get involved. That are all very expensive. We're gonna have to find creative ways to get different. And maybe playing like a middle of the road pass catcher or even one of these running backs from Detroit at captain might be the way to go. We're gonna have to discover that as we get through the show. But, you know, playing CeeDee Lamb at captain with both quarterbacks or trying to get Amon-Ra in there as well, it's gonna be real tough. So let's look at this game. Let's just jump right into this. This is gonna be a good one, man. A lot on the line here. If you look at Dallas, they pretty much locked up the fifth seed. That's probably where they're going to end up. You got Lions. They could get the one seed still. You know, some stuff has to happen here. But Lions have a lot to play for. Now, they clinched their division last week, an emotional win against Minnesota. Minnesota put up some points against them, though. Nick Mullins threw four picks. That was a good win overall. But the Lions now, you know, going into Dallas, in your opinion, is there any chance of a letdown? Like they have a lot to play for because they could still get that number one seed. You could argue that Dallas doesn't really have much to play for here at all. I mean, they do. Let's be real here. Because if Philadelphia loses one of these games, their next few games to either the Cardinals or the Giants, it could put them in contention to win the division, and that's a big deal. But most likely, they're going to have a road playoff game to start, and this could be their last home game of the season. So, is there any motivation issues to talk about here? I don't think there is. Both teams need to come out and win this game, especially Dallas, who's lost two straight games. They lost to Miami. Thoughts on motivation? Thoughts on any other kind of weird little game edges we could find here?
So I'm not necessarily concerned about Dallas being motivated to come out, right? Like, I don't think that they're going to want to lose on their home field. And that said, like, I do think that there's there is still a chance that Dak could end up with the MVP. I know Brock Purdy's performance the other night has a lot of people kind of pulling back on him a little bit. CMC's getting boosted. Lamar's getting boosted. But I do think Dak's in the running here, and if he can finish out with two more wins, I do think it's possible he ends up with a shot at the MVP. So, look, man, I think that there's other stuff here, and we know anything about Mike McCarthy. I don't know. Actually, I don't think we know anything about him. He's going to go out and do some weird shit. So that might be the one thing that we can bank on here is maybe he's just going to let Dak sling it so that they can try and lock up the MVP for him. It's still a long shot, but I do think that there is a narrative to be had there.
So this is a 52 total. Dallas is favored by 5.5 points at home. Thoughts on that spread? It feels like Vegas thinks that Dallas is just the better team here. I mean, is this just a straight up home, like a home road split thing? Like, we know that Dallas is 7-0 at home and they're putting up 40 points a game at home. Is that why this line is around 5.5?
Yeah, man. That's probably got a lot to do with it. The other side of it is Dallas has lost, what, 2 in a row? They haven't necessarily looked their best. They had an emotional victory over Philly, and then they lost the next two. So I think those things kind of play into here. And I know Vegas isn't necessarily one for being, you know, for too much recency bias, but I do think that those things are worth considering in the NFL. If there's a game for Dallas to kind of come ready to go, this would be it. If they're going to relax, it's going to be next week for their bye or their last road game.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, you mentioned they've lost 2 in a row. Dallas has. Dak left that game against the Dolphins with the lead. Dolphins came out, they drove down, and they kicked the last second field goal. So while, you know, if you're Dallas fans, you're disappointed with that loss, but like they could have easily won that game with one play here or one play there. That game was interesting the way it started out. They drove right down the field. Hunter Lipke got like four touches on the opening drive, including two, like, you know, third, I think they were fourth down, or they were short yard distance runs, and then he had a fumble on the goal line. You know, they're trying to bulk up their short yard run game. They're trying to get better at the goal line. We've seen Tony Pollard just absolutely suck ass as far as trying to get touchdowns. Like, he has five on the year, but two of those came in week one, and then he had a stretch where he had three straight games with a touchdown. To me, this feels like the clear advantage is going to Detroit's run defense. Like, Pollard, to me, is in a tough spot. And, you know, we got Dowdle that's out. You know, we're going to see a little bit of Deuce Vaughn in this game, potentially. To me, it just feels like Pollard's in a rough spot. Now, for GPPs and for bigger tournaments, maybe you hope he falls in the end zone a couple times. Maybe he has a random ceiling-type game. But against this Detroit Lions run defense, which is definitely their strength on defense, I just don't see it happening. On the other side of things, this Detroit Lions run offense, rhythm and bruise. I mean, these running backs are incredible. They had three total touchdowns between them last week. Jahmyr Gibbs with two, Montgomery with one. To me, this is the way to attack this Dallas team. Their defense is good overall. You know, their pass rush is probably their strength. And you could argue for most of the season, Daron Bland, Stephon Gilmore, these guys are coming out and playing well. Their pass coverage has looked good, but lately it seems like their defense isn't as invincible as we kind of thought earlier in the year. So, you know, to me, if you're Detroit, you got to come out and run the ball like 30 times on this team, man. It just feels like the right thing to do. And to me, DFS-wise, I'm going to have one at minimum, sometimes two, of these Detroit running backs. And especially trying to get these guys a captain, because we're going to have to pay down a little bit a captain to be comfortable in the flex. What are some matchup things that you're looking at here, man? Like, you know, Goff, if he's got pressure on him, if Micah Parsons can actually come out and, you know, stop getting held or get a holding call on him and actually put some pressure on this Detroit offensive line, I think Goff can struggle. But Detroit's offensive line is the best in the league. So this is going to be a tough matchup for this pass rush. What matchups are you looking to exploit in this game?
So, I mean, that's going to be an important one. I think the one that we're probably going to talk about a little bit here, too, is just the health of the Cowboys offensive line. Right. I think that kind of dictates a lot of what we're going to see for Dallas. Like, I think, again, right, their offensive line struggling kind of I think it might boost Dak from a fantasy perspective. I don't like those choice of words, but like, we know he can scramble and sling the ball, but I think it really hurts what we can see out of Tony Pollard, right? He's already just in a tough spot. He's not able to get those balls over the goal line. I mean, we saw him in primetime, I think, a week ago, right? It's some of those corners he's taken to try and get to the end zone are ridiculous. So look, man, like, I do think that those offensive line issues just make it even more difficult for Tony Pollard to be successful. And a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, man, this could be an opportunity for him to dominate. But it's the trenches. This is a game I think we're going to have to worry about the trenches a lot, because there's too many skill players on both a wide receiver and at a defensive back, in Daron Bland, and everybody knows how good the Cowboys defense is, right? I think there's so many skill players that it's going to come down to just whoever can dominate the trenches and give their quarterback enough time to actually make some quality throws.
I agree with that. And you know, the trenches, I think you got to give the Lions the edge here. Their run game, their offensive line, to me, if they don't run the ball a lot in this game, they're idiots. It's kind of frustrating sometimes with the Lions. Like, they came out, they lost a game on Thanksgiving to the worst rush defense in the league in Green Bay and did not really run the ball the way they should have. And then they come out and they lose to the Bears randomly. Like, the only reason why I bring that up in the intro is, like, this team feels like every once in a while they just don't show up. And I don't know, is that an angle that we could play? Maybe. It just feels like this game is probably going to hit the over. This feels like a heavy scoring type game. And I'm glad you brought up the Dak thing about scrambling, because Detroit, if you look at all the running backs they've played this year, they've done pretty good. Like, they're literally ranked number one in running back points allowed. But a guy like Dak, I think his rushing prop is like 16.5. We've seen teams be able to scramble and run when it comes to their quarterbacks against this Detroit defense. That could be an interesting angle to take. Maybe Dak gets you 30, 40 yards on the ground. Four fantasy points could be a nice little addition there. All right, let's look at some other stuff here. Like I said, this Cowboys offensive line is pretty good. But with Tyron Smith questionable here, we saw Chuma Edoga last week at left tackle. Did not have a good game. Missed some assignments. We saw some sacks on Dak. That's not going to be a good situation if Dak is getting a lot of pressure on him. Detroit Lions, I said they were number one. Well, they're ranked number two, okay, according to PFF. They've got a really good offensive line. You see Hutchinson, but you look at the other side of the ball here. You got Parsons and Lawrence. I feel like there's an opportunity for Dallas to get an edge in this game by getting some pressure onto Goff and causing him to throw some picks or make some mistakes. You know, we kind of saw him get some pressure put on him last week against that blitz-heavy Minnesota Vikings defense. And at a certain point, that the Vikings were winning in this third quarter. Let's actually, anything else to talk about here? Like, St. Brown versus Jordan Lewis. Lewis played pretty good last week, you know, kind of being matched up against Tyreek. I know they gave up 99 yards to Tyreek, but I mean, how could you, you know, he's Tyreek. You got Stephon Gilmore, Bland against Jameson Williams and Reynolds. I think the clear advantage when it comes to offensive pass catchers has to go to Dallas with this Detroit defense. This Detroit defense is going to give up yards in the air. They're 28th in quarterback points allowed, 26th in wide receiver points allowed. Their strength, like I said, is the running backs. Let's get into injuries here. Let me cue this up.
Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere.
All right, so like we said, let's start with the Lions side. So Cam Sutton is questionable. They're cornerback. They're already kind of banged up at cornerback here. That's something we need to keep an eye on. But I think the biggest news here that we're waiting on is Tyron Smith listed questionable. If he comes out and plays, I think it definitely gives a big boost. I mean, he's an important part of this offensive line and this team in general. But we got Rico Dowdle being out. To me, that's huge. I mean, you could either chalk that up to Pollard's going to get a lot more opportunities, or maybe we see Deuce Vaughn getting involved in third down quite a bit here and possibly some opportunities for some dump offs, maybe 6-7 fantasy points at a Deuce Vaughn could be nice at $1,000. You see here, Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy says Deuce will be up this weekend. We got a plan and look forward to it. So thoughts on these injuries, man. If Edoga ends up starting here, I think there's a, you know, a clear edge for this pass rusher, even though they've underachieved this year for Detroit. What are your thoughts on these injuries, man? What are you looking forward to? Are you waiting to build your lineups with Tyron Smith news? I mean, I don't know that I am, but I think it changes this game quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if I'm waiting for Tyron Smith to build. I think the Rico Dowdle thing is enough for us to get what we need from, right? Deuce Vaughn opens up a little bit of value. Even some of these other guys, right? I can't remember what you'll talk about him when we get to running back or whatever, but there's a fullback. It just opens up some other opportunities, I think, in general. Outside of that, man, I don't think there's anything too crazy here that we need to be worried about yet.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Lipke is the fullback. He's, what, $800? And you got Deuce Vaughn. There's some value to be had there. So that's an interesting angle. Let's just get into this breakdown, dude. We're about 15 minutes into the show. We're gonna spend a little bit of time building as well, obviously. And we're gonna talk position by position here. So let's go ahead and get into this breakdown. Give me 1 second to pull this up and break it down. Break it down. Dak Prescott is 10.6K. Jared Goff 10.2. There's a world where I see Detroit winning this game and Jared Goff doesn't need to put up 20 fantasy points. There's not a world where I see the Cowboys winning this game and Dak Prescott doesn't come out and throw the ball well and play well and put up 16, 17 fantasy points. I think if you had to choose one, you're probably, you know, you can probably stick with the run offense of this Detroit Lions. And maybe you don't get to as much Jared Goff. I mean, we see the ownership here. 52% Dak, 31% Goff. And, you know, look, this Cowboys defense, they got some good corners. They can cause some havoc here. So we're just not going to be able to get Amon-Ra, CD, Dak, and Goff in a lineup together unless we punt at captain. So if I had to choose one out of all four of those guys, it's probably Jared Goff, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's where I'm at with it. Like, yeah, that's where I'm at with it, man. Like, Jared Goff is just he's kind of just in a weird spot here. I already talked about my little MVP argument for Dak Prescott, man. I do think maybe this is just me being a little bit of a homer here. But I don't want to overthink this. I don't think San Francisco, right? You can't have two guys on the team worthy of MVP, right? I don't know how that works out. Lamar Jackson should win it, but Dak Prescott, if he can finish out with two wins and somehow they overtake Philly, right? Like, I do think that there is a chance that he ends up with the MVP here. I mean, even we got him projected for 24.5 fantasy points. I think he's mispriced for his projection. This is a game that really kind of does mean a lot to Dallas and the NFC as far as seeding. So I don't know, man. Like, when it comes to him and Goff, like, I think you have to try and get over on Dak as much as you can. If you're going to come in on anybody, come in under on anybody, Goff, unfortunately, is just going to be the odd man out.
Look, Nick Mullins.
It may not even be intentional.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably not intentional. Like, I'm not intentionally not clicking Jared Goff's name, but if I'm hand building, he just doesn't fit. You know, I'd rather get to Amon-Ra or one of these running backs, and they're much cheaper too. The running backs are. We saw Nick Mullins come out and throw for 411 yards. He did throw four picks against this Detroit defense, but we know this is week 17, dude. Like, when you see Detroit's defense on the schedule, you go, who's the quarterback that he's playing against? In this case, it's Dak Prescott. I'm going to have a lot of Dak Prescott. He's 52% owned. In the flex, I think you can get to some of him at captain as well and mix in some of these cheaper pass catchers in the flex with him, you know, hoping that maybe CeeDee Lamb has just like a 12 or 13 fantasy point game and you get a Brandon Cooks touchdown, you get a Tolbert big play, you get a Ferguson big play. Maybe putting Dak at captain is an interesting strategy because you do get a little bit of a savings on him. Let's go to running back. Let's start with Detroit. So we've talked about this quite a bit already. I'm going to have a minimum of one, and in a decent amount of lineups, I'm going to have both of these running backs. Jahmyr Gibbs put up two touchdowns last week. He seems to be, you know, just rewatching that game. When they were trailing for that short period of time there, Detroit, Jahmyr Gibbs was on the field the whole time. So if we think that Dallas comes out and is leading this game, maybe you don't play David Montgomery because he gets game scripted out. And you'll probably see some more Jahmyr Gibbs. But if we think that Detroit is going to be leading or at least very close in this game, you can't avoid David Montgomery. He's 8,600. He's probably 25 to 30% owned, probably 5% in the captain. And at 8,600, you have a guy with two touchdown upside. And, dude, am I just too obsessed with this rhythm and blues combo here? Are you going the same route I am? I'm, like I said, I'm going to have a lot of these guys.
Yeah, man. I think if I'm not going to have as much Goff, I'm going to have one of these guys and one of the wide receivers locked into most of my lineups, right? So, like, if we're using an optimizer on a slate like this, I think honestly, like, I would take Goff, Gibbs, Montgomery, ASB, and Laporta. I might make that group there where I have a minimum of one of those guys in every lineup, right? And I know I'm going to probably come in a little bit under Goff, but like, these are the guys that I want to have. If you want to keep the ball out of Dak and Dak's hands, and you want to keep CD off the field, you have two guys who are capable of carrying the workload. David Montgomery can carry 20 times. Jahmyr Gibbs is explosive. And I really do think that he can carry it 15 plus times if they give him the opportunity to. So, you know, we talked about it all season. I think this is one of those games where, Detroit, they have a coach who, he's tough as nails, and I think this is what he wants to do. He built a team that has a strong offensive line and can run the ball effectively. This is the time to start displaying it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I don't think there's really a whole lot to talk about here. Like these guys are my favorite leverage plays on the slate. If they're really coming in under 30% owned, I'm going to have so much. That's just how I'm going to roll, man. And if for some reason one of these guys doesn't score a touchdown in this game, it is what it is. If Goff, like, if you're not playing lineups with Jahmyr Gibbs or David Montgomery, you got to have Goff. I think that's just a very straightforward, pretty simple rule. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't play either one of those guys with Goff either. All right, running backs on the other side. So this is interesting. Tony Pollard, 7,800. He's being projected well. Like, I'm not really sure why. I know we're recording this on Friday, and as we get closer, SaberSim dials in a little bit more, and you start to see a little bit better projections. But as of right now, he's being projected for 17 fantasy points as a median projection. That should be closer to like 12 to me. Pollard is a guy that I think people are going to be under the, like, pretty low on. Like, I don't see why right now he's being projected at 36% ownership in the flex, while the two running backs for Detroit are being projected under 30%. I think that's backwards. To me, Pollard is like a 23 or 25% owned guy. So if you think that Pollard could get lucky and maybe because Rico Dowdle's out, he gets a couple extra carries near the goal line or whatever it is, maybe you play some Pollard captain. Maybe you fade him in the flex. Thoughts on Pollard here, man? Like, this seems like an easy type fade. Just because of this matchup, man. Detroit is very good against opposing teams' running backs. You got Deuce Vaughn at 1,000, and you got Lipke here, who they probably want to try to get involved. I know he fumbled on the goal line here, but I don't think that matters much. We saw Jahmyr Gibbs fumble last week. That didn't really matter much either. And Lipke's $800. So what are we doing with these running backs, man? This, to me, is where I'm going to get a decent amount of value from Dallas, specifically Vaughn. Where are you going?
Yeah, man, I'm with you. To preface this is all dependent on who's active, who's inactive. Mike McCarthy sounded like he was ready to get Deuce Vaughn involved given the Rico Dowdle news, but he could be fucking with us. Saturday night, we could find out that Malik Davis is the only person active, right? So if that happens, obviously we're switching our stuff to Malik Davis. And again, all that said, just hop in the Discord. We'll talk about inactives and any alignment. God damn it. Lineup adjustments we will be making will be done in there. We'll talk it out there. Anyways, back to this. It's Tony Pollard, right? 7,800, man. I want to see what SaberSim does to dial in his projection a little bit. It does feel a little bit high. But again, I think that removing the projections, what I would do here is I'd probably play a couple lineups with him at captain. That's probably what I'll end up doing just to make sure I have a little bit of exposure. And then I don't know if I'll have any in the flex. This is probably going to be a Stars and Scrubs type build anyways. So like Tony Pollard, Sam Laporta, those are guys that you may be able to throw in at captain for a little bit of savings. But I don't know how much you're going to get to Tony Pollard in the flex. That said, man, this isn't a great matchup for him. He hasn't been great all year. And I don't know how you just all 7,800, even though he's priced low, it still just doesn't seem like that's not just because he's priced low. Doesn't mean he's all of a sudden going to have a 2-touchdown game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there Kyle Dvorak here tweets, there are 9 players with at least a dozen carries inside the 5 this year. The average number of touchdowns scored amongst the group is 7.6. Tony Pollard, who has a dozen such carries this year, only has 2 touchdowns inside the 5. And then this screenshot here, I mean, how do you not score on this play? You know, like, he tried to cut it back in. He should have just kept running outside. It just goes to show that they're trying to find other ways to get this offense going in the red zone. I just don't know how much opportunity, even with Dowdle out, he's going to get. I'm not very optimistic on Tony Pollard, but if he comes in under 25% owned, I'm going to have to play him. I'm just going to have to. Wide receivers. CD Lamb is 11.4K. Brandon Cooks, 5,400. Gallup, 3K. Tolbert, 2,400. Turpin, 2K. Dude, this feels like a smash spot for at least one of these guys, maybe multiples. Brandon Cooks is always one of these guys that, you know, the archetype for Brandon Cooks is he's a big play guy. You know, he's boom or bust. I don't think that's true. I think Brandon Cooks at 5,400 is a nice flex position play. You could probably get to some captain with him, but I feel like a guy like Brandon Cooks, when they get in the red zone, they look towards Brandon Cooks. You know, CeeDee Lamb's going to get doubled. 5,400 for Brandon Cooks is really interesting. Gallup at 3K. I've been off Gallup most of the season. Every once in a while, he'll have a game where he scores a touchdown or gets a long pass. But, like, you know, if you've watched the show before and you watch any of these Cowboys games, you know I'm going Tolbert over Gallup every time. Tolbert had, like, I think it was like a 50-yarder reception last week, and he was underthrown. That would have been an easy touchdown for him. Tolbert, to me, is an interesting flex play at 2,400, especially when I got Dak captains or Dak in the flex, and I'm trying to stack up a couple pass catchers. Turpin is always a guy who's live for a punt or kickoff return touchdown, but I'm not playing him specifically for that, obviously, but he gets involved in the offense. And with Dowdle out, I think Turpin gets some run in the backfield. Like, we saw him line up a couple times in the backfield, or at least motioning for some of these handoffs. I think he gets a couple of handoffs in this game with their lack of running back depth. Thoughts on all these guys? I mean, look, CeeDee Lamb's the most, you know, probably going to be the highest owned guy, the most expensive. How do you avoid CeeDee Lamb against this Lions defense? I don't think you can.
Yeah, I have no intent to. I'm going to have as much CeeDee Lamb as I can possibly get. I'm not even going to spend much time talking about him, right? I think, dude's had an unreal year. He was on my regular fantasy team, man. I just put him in, didn't look at him again for the rest of the season. Dude's going to get you 15 to 20 points week in, week out. But looking further on down here, man, I do think you got to consider guys like Brandon Cooks. He's priced too nicely. Michael Gallup at 3K. We saw how annoying it was. Last Cowboys slate, was he the optimal captain? Like, I mean, it's just crazy when these guys get involved, right? Dak throws for 300 yards. Any one of these guys can get involved. And then I do want to echo something that you're talking about Tolbert and Turpin, right? Turpin, you said, could get some run in the backfield. I like it, right? If you have a bad offensive line, especially if Tyron Smith's out, you can get defenders off their just off of their stance, off of what they're supposed to be doing by having quick motion plays, right? Jet sweep, handing it off to the motion wide receiver that's coming across the field, that's going to keep your defensive tackle stuck where he's at, right? Fucks everything up for defensive line. So those are things that I would expect, especially if the offensive line is struggling. Get a little bit more creative with some of these other guys. And we know Mike McCarthy's offensive bag is pretty deep. He's just fucking weirdo and makes dumb decisions sometimes.
To me, I feel like I'm gonna try to go out of my way to get at least one of these guys that's not CeeDee Lamb. I will play a lot of CeeDee Lamb, but I'm gonna pair Lamb and Dak, whether it's in the flex or captain, with one of these dudes. I think one of these dudes, if you're looking for like a random punt play that's cheap, this is probably the route I would take, is, you know, a Brandon Cooks, a punt play at captain. You know, Gallup, Tolbert, you know, even Turpin is live for a touchdown in this one. And you don't need, at 2K, Turpin, if he gets you 10 fantasy points and you're able to fit in both quarterbacks and CD or Amon-Ra, you know, if you're able to get heavy in the flex, you might not need much more than 10, 11 fantasy points out of him. Let's go to the other side. So, to me, this is also very interesting. A guy like Jameson Williams is 3,400. It's been a slow process getting him up to speed this year. But, dude, I feel like he's reached a point where they're relying on him. He's 3,400 bucks. Josh Reynolds is 32. Khalif Raymond, 22. DPJ, 1,400. Dude, obviously everybody in the world is going to want to play Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I am too. But getting a guy like Jameson Williams at 3,400, he's going to get involved. He has big playability. We saw him get running attempts out of the backfield. Dude, I love Jameson Williams. I know you love Jameson Williams. You've been on him for a while now. He's 3,400 bucks, dude. He's the number two guy on this team at this point. He's my pick to score a touchdown in this game. He's my dirt bag of the day. Thoughts on all these random, you know, Khalif Raymond, Reynolds, Williams?
Yeah, man. I I like all these guys. Obviously, ASB is the guy that you want to target. 141 targets on the season. Him and CD are well above everybody else on their team. Jahmyr Gibbs has a bunch of targets on the year. But when we're looking for value, like I think you can consider some of these guys, right? Josh Reynolds has 52 targets on the season. Khalif Raymond, 40. Jameson Williams, he's going to be a little bit lower, but we know that that's because of injuries. And the thing about Jameson Williams is you're playing him for his upside, right? His average at the target's insane. So, like, he's on the field to split the safeties and try and blow off the top of the defense. So, I don't know how you sleep on any of these guys, man. Again, Detroit's offense has been fairly explosive. So, I do think Dallas wins this, but I think these are guys you consider for a little bit of savings.
Dude, I like Jameson Williams at captain, man. Like, we're going to build a lineup with Jameson Williams captain, and it's probably going to be pretty nice. Let's go to tight end. So, Laporta's... I mean, look, next year, for best ball and for fantasy drafts, Laporta is going to be one of the top tight ends drafted. Like, he's going in the second round, probably, right? Like... 7,200 in this game. He's had an incredible rookie season. He seems to disappear in certain games, but his ceiling is 28, 30 fantasy points. And if he comes out and plays well in this one at 7,200, having him at captain is going to be incredible. But I'm also looking to play him in the flex. Right now, Saber Sim is not loving him in the flex, but we'll have to wait to see what is adjusted because of that 11-point projection. But you're right. It's kind of like a Jameson Williams situation. We're playing him probably for his ceiling, and I think he has one of the better ceilings at his price on the slate. Thoughts on Laporta? I know you love Laporta. He was one of my higher-owned best ball guys this year. Didn't make anything into the finals with him, but he's in a good spot.
Yeah, dude. Sam Laporta is, I mean, he's one of the top 3-4 tight ends in the league right now. Travis Kelce and George Kittle, they're getting old, man. He might be the guy that's going to take over as a tight end one moving forward. Him and Trey McBride. Play Sam Laporta. I don't know about James Mitchell and Anthony Firkser. I don't know how much you necessarily want to get, but at 400 and 200 bucks, we know that Detroit's going to come out in two tight end sets, and they're going to rotate some of these guys in, right? Brock Wright and Shane Zylstra. I think Zylstra has a touchdown this year. That might have been last year. I don't know, but we know Brock Wright and Zylstra will get some run. If you feel crazy enough or want to run them in 150 max, I don't hate a $200, $400 punt.
I think you meant Mitchell or Firkser. Zylstra and Wright are out, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Let's go to the other side here. Dallas has three tight ends that we can always consider playing, especially a guy like Hendershot at 400. He had a goal line target in that game, just couldn't complete the pass. Jake Ferguson, 6,200 is interesting. Dude, every single position group we've gone through, I'm like, I like this guy, I like this guy, I like this guy. Like, there's so many damn players on the slate that I'm going to try to get involved. it's going to be tough, dude. There's so many. I'm just going to be under on some guys, which worries me. But a guy like Jake Ferguson being projected for more fantasy points than Laporta seems interesting right now. But 6,200, captain, flex, Hendershot at 400. I know he's been injured most of the year. Him and Schoonmaker at 1,600. This team likes to run two tight end, three tight end sets. These guys are going to be on the field, especially if they get near the goal line. I think Hendershot is live to score in this game as a low-owned dude. But Ferguson, to me, is like, I'm going to try to prioritize getting him in because if we really want to attack this Dallas pass game, Ferguson at captain might be a nice little play here, man. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same idea with Tony Pollard, man. I don't know how much necessarily I'm going to get to Ferguson in the flex. I think I may rather just get to Laporta at that point, but I do think that he is an interesting captain play. We know he has two touchdown upside, and that salary flexibility is going to give you a lot of flexibility for putting in some studs. And then to your point, we played Schoonmaker and Hendershot, or at least Schoonmaker all season. Hendershot's been in and out of injury. So, look, I'll never have a problem playing guys under 2K, especially a guy like Hendershot or Schoonmaker.
Let's go to defense and kicker. So we've got Brandon Aubrey, who is 33 for 33 this year on field goals, and Dallas is at home in a situation where they have been putting up 40 plus points. Aubrey at 4,800. We're seeing kickers in this slate priced down a little bit. Good, because typically we've been seeing 52, 5K, you know, 4,800 as the top, as the, you know, as the top end guys here. Michael Badgley, 4,600. Thoughts on these kickers, man? I think you have to probably get him involved if we think that there's, you know, four touchdowns for Dallas and maybe a 50-yard field goal for Aubrey. Is 10 fantasy points enough for me to play him? I don't know, but he has a pretty decent ceiling. Like, if I saw Brandon Aubrey as in the optimal with 18 fantasy points in this game, I would not be super surprised. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think both kickers are in play. I don't know if you need both in your lineup. Probably only need one, just given the offenses that we're working here. But yeah, I think they're finally priced, and it's not much better, but I'm glad they're not in the 5Ks. But this is a reasonable price to get some exposure to them, especially right with our only value right now being Deuce Vaughn. I think you do need to have a pretty decent amount of the kickers.
So Cowboys are 4,400, Lions 3,600. Look, every single showdown slate, we seem to have an idea how the game's going to go, and then it comes out completely different. You know, this is supposed to be a shootout. Is there a world where maybe, you know, these teams come out a little tight being week 17, there's some injuries going around, and maybe this hits the under and we get a defensive touchdown or something? Yes, I'll build a couple lineups for that. It's not likely to happen. We saw it, you know, we saw it last night with the Browns, you know, and the Jets. Cooper's out, and they you know, single-handedly the Browns hit the over by themselves in the first half. So I think we have to play a lot of different scenarios, but in my opinion, like, the Cowboys defense at 4,400 maybe could get a couple shares, but Lions at 36, I'm just not super interested in. I'd rather play Jamison Williams, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd still probably even rather go down to Khalif Raymond or something like that. There's a bunch of dudes I'd rather play than honestly either of these defenses. I mean, you're looking at 15 to 20% of the field combined playing these. So on a game like this with two offenses as potent as these, I think I'd be more comfortable just letting these guys pay the rake. And if I lose because I didn't play defenses, I think I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, we saw 50%+ owned chalk Browns defense hit last game. There's so many players in this slate that we want to play and want to get involved. We're going to have to take a stand somewhere. And maybe it's just no defenses for this one, with maybe one or two lineups where you focus on a different game script. But we can't play everybody. It's just not possible. All right, let's go to our captain pick. We're going to crown their ass on DraftKings four tournaments.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Ellie, you're going Sam Laporta. I'm going Lions running backs. Obviously, there are better captain options. Like, there are studs in this game, but guess what? We got to pay a lot of money to get to them, and then, therefore, we're not going to be able to really play the guys we want to flex. A guy like Laporta, his price with his ceiling is really interesting. We're going to build a handful of lineups with them, but for me, either one of these Lion running backs. I think Montgomery is the less sexy play. Like, a lot of people are going to be on Gibbs because of his pass catching ability and his explosiveness and big play ability, but we've seen Montgomery have big plays as well. And if they're truly as low owned as Saber Sim is saying they're going to be, I'm going to have a ton of these guys at captain. Now, when it comes to single entry, dude, what are you thinking for single entry and just some other captain options that you're thinking if people are jumping around?
I think Laporta is going to be kind of a popular single entry and cash game captain. I think other guys that you can consider, probably Jake Ferguson, more GPP, Tony Pollard, just given their salaries. And then single entry, man, again, like, I think you can consider, I think you'll talk about this a little bit, but Dak Prescott, there's just a lot of offense you're going to capture with him, potential scrambling, rushing upside there. And then I don't know how you come off the Lions running backs, man. You gotta have a lineup or two with them just because of the upside. One of these guys could have three touchdowns easy.
Absolutely, for sure. And I think if their ownership stays low, dude, oh my God, it's just such an easy smash spot for me. All right, let's get to our fades here.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
So, Ellie, you're going Pollard, man. I like it. I'm assuming you're going to have a couple with captain just in case if he falls in the end zone twice randomly. But I think the consensus would probably be across the industry that Pollard is in a bad spot. He hasn't looked great this year. He's been a heavy disappointment. And I think overall, you might see his ownership dip into the mid-20s or even lower for this game just simply because of his price and what we have to do to get these high-priced guys. Talk to me about your Pollard situation here. Would you play him in a single entry, or are you just saying, you know what, I need to make a decision and I'm going to fade him across the board?
No, I'll probably just do another single entry with him at captain, just to be safe. But look, man, we talked about this on another slate. I can't remember. I think it might have been Amari Cooper. I was fading them at flex and playing him at captain. This is a similar spot. Like, I think you're fine getting a little bit of exposure to him at the captain spot if you want to hedge. But outside of that, man, I'm just not going to be targeting him in any of my lineups. There's just some studs that I want to get to, and this isn't a great matchup for him.
And look, this is kind of a cop-out from me, but there's not really, you know, besides Pollard potentially, there's not really anybody that jumps out to me that I'm going to go out of my way to fade. You could probably say Goff, but I'm not going to intentionally not click his name. You know, like there's an absolute situation where Goff puts up 30 fantasy points. So I'm not going to go out of my way to really fade anybody, but I think naturally I'm just not going to get to the defenses like I was saying earlier. And maybe I just unclick them for a majority of my lineups, minus like 10 or 5 lineups with a defense game script. All right, let's go to lineup builds. Let's jump into DraftKings. So we appreciate you guys. Throw us a like. Let's get to 100 likes for this video. Thank you guys so much for all the viewership over the last few weeks. Our goal is to get to 2,000 subs before the end of this football season. After NFL is over, though, we're not done, man. We're jumping right into spring ball, and there's a bunch of edges and quite a bit of ways to win money playing spring football. Whether it's XFL or USFL, whatever that league is going to be called, we're going to be jumping into that pretty heavy. So make sure you guys are subscribed. We still got a lot of football left, though. We still got a lot of NFL left. All right, let's talk about our single entry here. So for single entry, we're building here for, you know, the $100 single entry with like 1,000 or less entries. We want to get a little bit different, but we also want to have a high floor, and we want to play guys that we're comfortable playing. And also, it has to work as a portfolio. Like, based on what you're doing in your GPPs, you can really change the way you build your single entry. So for this one, maybe we get one in with Pollard here, but I don't think let's not build that here. Let's just try to build our favorite single entry. And to me, I think we start out with Gibbs. You want to start out with Gibbs at captain here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's just see how this goes. All right, so if Gibbs is at captain, he can absolutely receive, you know, get receiving touchdowns. But let's just say, for this sake, let's fade Goff in this lineup. Let's get CD, let's get ASB, let's get Dak and see where we're at. We're kind of in trouble here, but we do have Deuce Vaughn. Like, look, for a game like this with as many, you know, offensive options that we have, I'm okay with punting with a guy like Deuce Vaughn in a single entry. We're just going to have to. So you want to play Deuce Vaughn here?
Yeah, I'm down.
It doesn't leave us with a whole lot of options here. Turpin, Khalif Raymond. I don't like punting twice, so I don't know if this is the route I'm taking with Gibbs. If you are comfortable punting twice, or if we get some more news that there's some other value out, maybe. If it was like Tolbert, if I were able to get to Jameson Williams here, I would absolutely play this with Jameson Williams. Here, let's do this. Let's go Montgomery captain. I know that this is probably not going to be a popular single entry, but let's just try it out and see what happens. Let's go Dak. Let's go down to our boy Deuce Vaughn here. And that it doesn't quite get us to Jameson Williams. Yeah, interesting. All right, let's build a different one. Let's build a different single entry. How far down are you willing to go here, man? Like, you want to try a Laporta one?
Yeah.
All right, so are we getting Goff in this one?
No, I think we still go Amon-Ra.
All right, let's try it. Dak. So we got Laporta, Lamb, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Dak. I think that's a pretty solid core to start out with. Now, do you want to go down? Do you want to go down to Deuce Vaughn right off the bat? And if there's other value you like, feel free to plug them in. But for now, as a placeholder, he's $1,000. Let's put Deuce Vaughn in. That leaves us $5,200. So this is a kicker situation. So you want to go? I mean, you could play anyone. I'd rather play Aubrey here. That leaves about $400 on the table. Laporta, Lamb, ASB, Prescott, Vaughn, Aubrey. It's a pretty solid single entry there. This is probably the route I'm taking here with one of these cheaper captains. Try to jam in all these studs. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, just initially looking at this would probably be one of the chalkier Sam Laporta builds you're going to get. This might be one of the just chalkier single entry builds that you're going to get coming into the slate, unless we get more news, right? It was just too easy to build with Sam.
Yeah. Let's pull out Deuce Vaughn here. Let's go down to Hunter Lipke. See if that does anything. 5,400. Brandon Cooks, potentially. Not bad. Let's try to build one with Goff, though, with Laporta. So let's put Laporta back in. Let's put Goff, Dak. Maybe we fade Amon-Ra here. If we're expecting Laporta to get, 100 yards or 80 yards and a touchdown or maybe even two touchdowns, let's fade Amon-Ra in this one and get Goff. Do we go right back to the well with Deuce Vaughn and see what happens? 6K, we're right back in the same situation here. So maybe maybe if you want to run a $15 single entry and another $15 single entry or whatever, maybe get two options, one with Goff, one without, that could be a decent option. You want to build with Dak a captain here for single entry?
Yeah, let's try it.
All right, let's see what happens. So let's get Dak, let's get CD, let's fade Goff, and let's go Gibbs or Montgomery. Now, I know that I said I'm going to have Gibbs or Montgomery in every single lineup. Well, I don't know if that's going to apply to my single entry because I'm going to go heavy in GPP. I don't know where I'm going to land on that yet. So if you're watching this and you go, hey, you didn't build with them in the flex, I realize that. So where are we going here, man? Is this let's get to Gibbs or Montgomery in one of these? You want to go Gibbs to start?
Yeah, let's start with Gibbs.
ASB as well, or do you want to go down and grab Laporta?
I mean, you can try ASB, but I mean that means you're pretty much going what, double punt?
Yeah, you're going absolutely going double punt again. So let's get Laporta here.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Gibbs, Laporta. Kicker, maybe you want to start at kicker and see. I don't actually. We could get Aubrey and Deuce Vaughn here if we wanted.
Yeah.
So, I'm not super comfortable playing Deuce Vaughn in all my single entries. I'm not going to, but as a placeholder for value right now, maybe that's how we're rolling at the moment. But if you're listening to this on podcast, we got Dak, CD, Gibbs, Laporta, Aubrey, Vaughn. It's tough, dude. We have to make tough decisions. It's not easy. Instead of Gibbs, let's see what we can do if we go down to Montgomery here. 2,100 with Aubrey. So you can go Turpin. I like that. That's decent. Dak, CD, Montgomery, Laporta, Aubrey, Turpin. So we're getting a little different, but we're still having a pretty chalky type build. All right, let's move on to tournaments here. Let's build two lineups for GPP. You want to just right off the bat go Jameson Williams?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So Jameson Williams, captain, what does that mean? Let's try to get, like I said, for GPPs, I'm going to have one of these running backs. So let's just plug in Jahmyr Gibbs for now. And then maybe, do we have to play Goff in this lineup? Like, maybe if we fade Goff, maybe we go Montgomery instead. But you want to do like a 2-4 here?
Yeah, let's see if we can. Let's go. What do you want to do? CD, Dak, and then go from there?
Yeah, so we got some decent salary left. Like, obviously, I don't think we're going to play Amon-Ra in this lineup. What about Pollard, or what about Ferguson? Like, or do you want to just go down and grab one of these guys like Tolbert or Turpin again?
Throw in Pollard. I mean, if we're not playing Amon-Ra, we should go a little bit more balanced, right?
Yeah. 5,900 for this last spot. So you can get Cooks here too. which is
interesting.
Really interesting build. So Jameson Williams captain with Gibbs in the flex. You got Prescott, Lamb, Pollard, Cooks. You could go down to kicker here as well. Let's build a little bit more balance here. Let's get Montgomery. Let's fade Goff here. Let's go Williams, Montgomery. Let's go back to Dak and CD. Do you want to try Amon-Ra here, or is that too much?
I mean, honestly, just throw in Gibbs.
Yeah, there you go, dude. There we go. Kicker. So Aubrey. So we got a 3-3 here. Jameson, Montgomery, Gibbs, and you got Dak, CD, and Aubrey. All right, let's build one more lineup with another captain here. You want to go? Who do you want to go with here? Do you want to go Ferguson? Do you want to do a Laporta GBB build?
Let's do Pollard. We haven't done anything with him at captain, and I know people are going to be annoyed when they see me fade him and then us build a lineup with him at captain. So,
well, this is what you talked about doing though, getting Pollard at captain. So, all right, so if Pollard's a captain, what are we thinking here? Thinking two goal line touchdowns. Like, how does he get there?
So I think that in this one we consider fading Dak, and then we go Pollard, Lamb, and then see what we can do about the Detroit side. Let's
Goff and ASB.
Let's go Goff, Laporta,
and then Gibbs, running back
if we can.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Laporta, Gibbs.
No, not quite.
We can go down to Montgomery though. We can't quite get to Deuce Vaughn, but we can get Hunter Lipke. So now you've covered some rushing, you've covered some goal line opportunities here, and then you got a little bit of a run back with Goff. There's a lot of options on this slate, man. Would you prefer hand building for this one over optimizing or saber sim? Where are you going as far as your amount of lineups you're getting, and what's your strategy?
I'll probably get as many lineups as I can in some of these smaller contests. When we have efficiently priced slates like this, I like to get a little bit more, and then I like to cap my actual total salary. So this is when I'm not going to have any lineups at 50,000, and I've been going low. Like I'll probably cap at like 49.5 or even 49,000 on a slate like this. We saw it on the Cleveland slate, right? We know what the obvious plays are sometimes, and you can submit one of those chalky lineups, and it's just going to end up chopping. If you MME'd, you may not have made much money last night. So. Yeah. It's another thing to consider on something like this. Just cap out your salary and you'll get forced, unique, weird lineups just because of that.
The optimal lineup last night, I know last night was a weird slate, but there was a guy who was 7.4% owned, who was in the optimal, and that lineup chopped so many different ways. So that was a weird example as far as last night's slate, but as we continue to go through the season, we're just learning that it's just not worth it sometimes to play some of these duped builds. Like if you're doing one or two lineups or something and you don't have a ton of money into it, maybe it's worth it, you know, getting a first place that's $200 as opposed to 10K or whatever it is, you know, being duped. But if you're like maxing out the big contest, and you're playing these lineups that are going to be duped 100, 200, 300 times, it's not worth it. You know, it's just not. You might take a big loss by playing some of these less than optimal type lineups, but the one night that it hits, if you have the bankroll, the one night that it hits is going to make it worth it for the whole year almost. And that's how a lot of these guys do it, man. It's just the way to do it. You're going to take your losses, but the wins are going to be big wins. All right, Ellie, who's your dirtbag of the day, low-owned guy that you think could score, and what's your final score prediction here?
Final score, I'm going to go with 31-27 Dallas. Dirtbag of the day, Jesus, this is going to be a tough one. Let's go with Khalif Raymond. I think it's going to be one of these bullshit Lions wide receivers.
Absolutely. Here, let me show you, before we send this off, make sure you guys throw us a like on the way out. Let me show you my best ball build here. Hopefully you guys can see that. Let me zoom in a little bit here. So this is my week 17. I made one lineup into the Millie Maker. Wish me luck. There's a lot of injuries here. Of course, Amari Cooper coming in at 55% ownership, didn't play. I got Jalen Waddle, who's now out. I got Zay Flowers, who's questionable. Raheem Mostert's questionable. Zay Jones is questionable. I'm going to need a lot of help here. But if I can get in the top 20% of this contest with 360 entrants, I think I might be okay to make some decent money. Lamar Jackson only 5% owned, dude. These Brock Purdy stacks going up against Washington. Brock Purdy's only 15% owned, and some of these Ayuk and Kittle are super low owned. I'm going to need a lot of help, but maybe San Francisco is pissed off and they come out and put up a 50 burger on Washington just to prove and just kind of get rid of some of the negative vibes in there. We're going to try to do a best ball show wrap up for the season. So stay tuned for that, but throw us a like on the way out. We'll see you guys later.